to be. Maybe a vulture.
Hmm.
So I took my Windex bottle and squirted it. Should have gotten the hose, but it was fucking raining and cold and it's all smeared. All drove anyway. Went to the grocery store. Fucking ostriches pooping on my car. Don't they know? Like, I have things to do. I barely go out of my house. When I go out of my house, I don't want to have to deal with, like, ostrich plops on my windshield. Seriously. Bird is on my shit list. So we have both failed at our dry month, I hope, because I am living on wine and cake from here on out. Like, fuck it. End of the world.
Big. That's a big 10-4 on that one. They made it necessary to abandon the just dumb idea that was not drinking for the month of March.
What were we thinking?
What the fuck were we thinking?
Like, the worst possible month to ever do that.
Just an ugly, ugly idea. And
now it's over. We never have to mention it again.
You know, I think we can mention it again as sort of a teachable moment, a lesson learned for future generations.
Right.
Hello, listener, and welcome to your new 46th favorite podcast, right behind Birds I Hate with Kate Jones. It's Destroy the Files with Kate and Brent.
Hi, I'm Kate, writer, editor, plague doctor.
And I'm Brent, writer, beer enjoyer, defender of the birds. If you are at work, a child at work, pregnant, nursing, attending nursing school, a member of the clergy, member of the FBI, or my own dear sweet mother, it's not recommended that you listen to this podcast. Kate, I'm going to start right off. Did you see on Twitter, hashtag trending, release the butthole cut?
I missed that one.
All right. We're going to get right to the butthole cut. So the movie Cats came out based on some sort of a play. Apparently the play is about these cats that run around and they talk and dance and things. So this is Jack Waz, who is, let's see, what does he do? He's a writer at Howard the Duck, at Jack Waz on Twitter, J-A-C-K-W-A-Z. He says, a VFX producer friend of mine was hired in November to finish some 400 effects shots in the Cats movie. His entire job was to remove CGI buttholes that had been inserted a few months before, which means that somewhere out there exists a butthole cut of Cats.
Oh, my God.
And then release the butthole cut was trending all day on March 17th, a lot of 18th. It was an interesting way to wake up in the morning.
It makes the whole end of the world worth it, I think.
Things are messed up, and if they're not going to throw us a bone here and there, you know, send us $1,000 or something, you know, give everybody a puppy, release the butthole cut, you know?
Right. Bread and circuses, I believe Julius Caesar once said. Because the world has been ending for a very long time. Ah, that looks delicious.
It could be colder, but I'll make do.
So, you still have to go to the day job. I, in fact, have been locked down and am not supposed to leave except for essential items. Or essential duties? What do you leave a house for? You leave it for essential missions. I have left my house a couple of times in this past week. I have walked around my neighborhood and inspected all the flowers because it is the first day of spring. They're quite lovely.
I hope you're not getting too close to people's mailboxes out there.
No. I have gone to the grocery store for the fourth time to try and locate some ground beef. Still, I have failed. But I did run into three different people. They were 6 feet from me who coughed.
Mm-hmm.
And not into their elbow cough. They, like, just coughed. One of them had a mask on. But holy shit, we will learn soon whether my death ray murder vision works, because I did wish them all death. And okay, so if there are three deaths in my neighborhood coming up, we'll know that I have that power.
There is a Joe Rogan podcast episode that everybody in the world needs to listen to with Michael Osterholm. And I don't like to, you know, promote other people's podcasts a ton, but Joe Rogan, we should have him on Destroy the Files sometime.
Did you ask him?
I haven't talked to him yet. He hasn't really responded to anything from me. Like the last time I tried to get a hold of him, because I study Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu and so does he, and I think he might be a black belt under Eddie Bravo. I don't know. I haven't looked into that in a long time, but I am a blue belt now, which is considerably nice, lower than a black belt, and I challenged him to straight up Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu match. I said, hey, Joe Rogan, you know, how about you accept this challenge from out of shape blue belt in northern Wisconsin? And he that chicken shit hasn't responded. Where you at, Joe Rogan? Are we going to do this or not? But we'll get into that another time. But Michael Osterholm is an internationally recognized expert in infectious disease epidemiology. And he was on the March 10th episode of Joe Rogan Experience, and it was very enlightening. And so some of the things that he talks about is like this was not grown in a lab at all. This was nature. We don't really have the means to create this, a thing like this. But anyway, but I have been hearing from people that I respect that, like, they think that this coronavirus was grown in a Chinese lab. And
really? You respect them?
Yeah. Sometimes it's hard. It's like, well, because people see things from people that they trust bounce around their Facebook feed, and they're like,
oh,
well, someone's
like says this. Family members, and there's nothing you can do about it?
I can tell them to listen to Joe Rogan, but they're probably not going to. In a Reddit forum, I don't know, what does Reddit have? Threads? Whatever they have, I don't know. The No Sleep thread on Reddit, or forum, or whatever section of Reddit, is dedicated to scary fiction stories, and No Sleep are designed to be realistic horror stories, and the commentators often treat them as if they were real. And in fact, it's one of the rules of that section. And so there's this guy, I'm a senior Chinese military intelligence officer, and I know the truth about the coronavirus outbreak. And that's where that comes from, fucking Reddit, like, horror story role play fucking thread. And you've got grown-ups who should know better that are gobbling this shit up on Facebook. Spreading
that
it around.
That is shame. So speaking of horror stories, and I know we don't really talk about writing very much here.
No.
In spite of the fact that we both do that for a living.
Mm-hmm.
But recently, well, I'm not even going to say it, but like all of the work I normally do has poof, it's just gone. I don't know what happened. Like all of everything's been canceled. So I started a new story. And I would like to ask our listeners if what they think about this log line and synopsis. And I'm trying to find just the right title. And I thought I'd share.
Sure. Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. Ready? Okay. So the log line: Regina wants respect, just like any woman, except she sheds her deadly cells and infects the corrupt and powerful to get it. All right. So that's the that's my elevator pitch. And then we have a little synopsis in this. Regina wants the same things other young women want: love, respect, success. But Regina, unlike other women, is the manifestation of a sentient virus that has only one desire and mission: to rid the world of a parasite that's killing its host, the planet Earth. Can Mimi, a young internet influencer and patient zero, convince all the nations of the world to come together and meet Regina's demands before she wipes out humanity? Or will the people of the 21st century find themselves thrown back into the medieval dark ages? So this could be fun. Well, it is fun. I'm not sure I've really tweaked that as much as I should. I have a title. It started out Regina, Queen of Winter. And then I thought, well, that's awfully dark. I see this as a comedy. So maybe Regina, yes, Queen of Winter. What do you think?
What do I think? You put me on the spot. Queen of Winter. Well, I
winter, because it's, you know, that's flu season, winter. This is all about the flu.
Is Yas Queen still going to be a thing? That's one thing to consider. Gosh. Is that, like, man, in 3 months, are people going to know what the hell that is? Like, what the hell is that? That was a thing before coronavirus. Around,
yeah, it might be dated. Huh? But Regina, Queen of Winter. I'm really enjoying, like, making a character out of virus. Because when I look at an ant colony, I think of the ant colony as a single thing.
Yeah.
Because they are, right? It, like the little cells, the ants, the individual ants aren't actual things. They are like cells. And the colony is the thing. I love that concept. It's like beehives are like that too.
Have you seen Rick and Morty with what the hell, where they go and join the super team in space?
I know Rick and Morty. I have not watched them all.
Is like there's a one where they go and like join the super team in space, and one of the characters is Million Ants.
Oh,
so he's
fucking, he's just, Rick and Morty stole my idea.
Not quite, but a Million Ants is just this, as you can imagine, it's a human sort of shape thing that's just like all like wiggly and stuff, because it's just a pile of a million ants, and when he gets like blasted through the chest, he has to regenerate, and like they hatch a bunch of larvae, and so he can once again be a million ants. No, I could see where that would be a lot of fun to write about. And now, is Regina, is she sultry and sexy?
Oh yeah,
really?
I see would... her as, I don't know, I haven't really cast her yet. I think she can be a lot of fun. Like many young, like an Ariana Grande could really fill that role. I see her as someone who enjoys the music.
Well, let me ask you this. Is Regina strictly female, or with that kind of biology, would she be able to kind of go back and forth, or somewhere in between as she chose?
She completely could. That's thank you. I'm glad I brought this up.
Yeah, me
this
too.
The story grows richer as we go.
Suddenly we're in a race to finish this book. May the best man win, bitch. Gunther, look at me. Oh. Look at me, Gunther. You're gonna edit that out. Oh, before I forget, we can get right back to this, but we gotta jump to our first sponsor really quick. This portion of the podcast is brought to you by a crab claw growing alongside your brainstem. Why is it there? What is it for? These twisted times have wrought their twisted mischief upon your body. Creatures from afar cackle as our reality warps and monstrous things grow inside us. That's a crab claw growing alongside your brainstem. Don't weep for humanity. We were the monsters all along. So, getting back to Regina.
No. That's what have you been doing? You have not been in quarantine. So are you living your life as it always has been?
Well, I work in a very small office with just a few people, and we do not need to be close to each other unless we choose to. I tried to get everybody to touch my face the other day, but they wouldn't. I'm like, come on, rub my eyes a little. And they're like, no, whatever. You nerds. So then I busted out of there. Jiu-jitsu is canceled. There is no jiu-jitsu for the time being.
Do you have any cases in the state of Wisconsin?
We do. We have...
Oh, I'm sorry. I think all of the states have it now, right?
I think so. I guess I...
But we win. We have the most because we win.
Fuck yeah. You got to throw a party. Right. We did it. Number one.
Wisconsin's up over 100. Florida's going to win.
All
those motherfuckers on the beach are going to suffer because I put my death stare on them. Why don't you wear some bikinis in April?
Okay. So we've got a bunch of jackass 19 and 20 and 21 year olds that are just getting hammered on the beach. And then so they shouldn't be, which we understand. But then now the camera crew that goes down there and interviews a bunch of drunk, you know, shirtless, barely legals that are rubbing up against each other and like, hey, camera crew, do you guys not think that maybe you put yourself at risk? It's like, hey, why do you think you need to put everybody at risk? Like, well, you know, we've been planning spring break and college is tough. And, well, we just wanted to get drunk for a little bit and have fun. We, you know, we're not hurting nobody. And, like, I don't know. It's just comical. Like they couldn't get them. They couldn't interview these kids, like, 9 a.m. when they're still sober. Yeah, you know, grab them at 3 o'clock when they've been drinking for 6 hours.
Yeah,
you can see their eyes are all glassy and half shut, and their faces are like kind of blotchy, and they're just like got a weird sweat going. And oh yeah, where'd you get all those beads? And never mind that. Why do you think it's okay to spread coronavirus? Well, we're just trying to have some fun. is that puke on your shorts there? Yeah, a little. Yeah, no, I think it's funny in a. I'm going to laugh at this so I don't weep at this kind of way, but Stone Kettle, Jim Wright, goes by Stone Kettle Station on the Twitter. Everybody should follow him. He's very insightful. He was in the military for a long time, and he's kind of, his thought on it was like, well, you know, yeah, they're being stupid. Everybody who's like preaching at them, don't think you were any smarter when you were 19. You did the same shit, and you know, the stakes are a little higher now, but you know, when you're 21 years old, you think you're indestructible, and they do, and fuck, we did, you know.
Yeah, that's true. I'm so glad there was no Facebook or Twitter or Instagram when I was in college. Holy shit, I got away with all that stuff. There are no pictures of it.
Well, no, I agree. There was a time in college when I had a gal who I was friends with. She would like style my hair into like this spiky kind of fiery looking thing, and I thought that was great, and you know, thought I looked really good. There's only a couple pictures that exist of me in that state, and I had a soul patch and sideburns, and it was just one step away from being an actual clown, you know. And nobody would have ever known any of that ever happened if I hadn't just fucking said it. Damn it, Gunther. Take that out.
So I used to believe, because of vodka, that I could dance. And if there had been Instagram, there would have been many photos of me on tables in your local drinking establishments of me dancing on tables. And... what is it called when you can't hear music? Like tone deaf?
Oh, yeah,
and I also don't have the rhythm. Because, I am not a dancer. I don't even really enjoy music very much because I don't hear the difference between like good music and bad music. I don't know why. It's tone deaf is what it is. And no rhythm. Also, very kind of lanky and gawky and white. So I should really not dance in public. But I used to because of vodka. It taught you. You are really talented at dancing. You should get out there and really show your stuff. Yeah, there might be a couple of like hi-8 videos of that bullshit. Because yeah, film me, because I am that good. But I wasn't. I never. I'm still not.
Did you ever read Dune by Frank Herbert?
I did see the movie by, what's his name?
David Lynch.
Yeah, I saw that.
Okay, so you know that, like, when you're walking in the deep desert, you have to walk, you have to travel without rhythm, because anything with rhythm attracts the worms.
And the worms would have been safe. So very safe.
Kate, you have to teach us your ways so we can survive the deep desert. Like, everybody has your vodka. Now, these glasses have little post-its on them that make it look like there's a table right beneath you. So pretend you're dancing on a table. Right. They're making a new movie of that. Working on it right now.
No!
Yeah.
It doesn't need to be done again.
It does.
There are so many stories. Well, yeah. But there are so many new stories that we have written that should be movies.
I don't disagree with that, but I think they should do justice to Dune. Frank Herbert deserves to have that done instead of... But so, like, it's going to have Jason Momoa as Duncan Idaho. Oscar Isaac is going to be Duke Leto. Bunch of Zendaya, who is Mary Jane in the new Spider-Mans with Tom Holland. Zendaya is going to be Chaney, the Fremen chick that Paul Muad'Dib falls in love with. And I can't remember who plays Paul Muad'Dib. I can't remember his name, but I can tell you his face. And even more importantly than the Dune movie is they're making a Borderlands movie.
No.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
And the guy who directed... Hostel 1 and 2 is the director of it.
Really?
He also directed The House with a Clock in Its Walls, starring Jack Black.
I enjoyed that.
We're halfway through it. Oh, get this. So, okay. The other day, we decide it's movie night. And I'm like, all right, say to my son, I'm like, you know what? We're going to sit down and watch a movie as a family, me, you, and mommy. And I get to pick the movie. And he's like, ugh, because I always tell him, you know, like, you know, the Scream Witch of Blood Mountain, or, you know, the, like, Ghost Cave, you know, and just making up movie names. And I'm like, no, we're going to watch Labyrinth tonight.
Oh, my God.
He was so not interested in Labyrinth.
Oh, no.
He does not like...
Can you send it back?
He does not like David Bowie.
No. Man, how can he be your kid?
Oh, and you remember the last time we talked? He had that loose tooth that
he wouldn't let you pull.
Yeah,
because he still has. Though he would get money,
still in there. He'll get a Star Wars graphic novel. He'll get a whole bunch of shit. Give us that tooth. And then I bought a game, a collaborative game. Looks like with cards that you play. It's called Forbidden Island, and I guess there's another one, Forbidden Sky and Forbidden Desert. And so we got the first one, Forbidden Island, and we're gonna play that if he lets me have that fucking tooth. My wife says, oh, you bought him another game. I'm like, no, I did not buy him another game. I bought myself a game, and I will let him play it with me. Everything I buy that's fun doesn't mean it's his. What kind of crazy shit are we talking about here?
Kids think they own things. Fucking kids.
I have another item that I want to discuss. I actually have a couple, but we don't have to get to them all at once. This is a very short one. This I found on livescience.com, and this is from 10 days ago. The headline caught my attention right away. Pig poops out a pedometer, starts a fire. This is a fire on a farm in northern England was accidentally set by one of the pigs. A firebug, fire hog in parentheses, had swallowed a a pedometer worn by one of its fellow pigs to demonstrate that the animals were free range, but after the pig excreted shit the pedometer, copper in its battery sparked a flame in the pig dung and dried hay bedding on March 7th at approximately 2 p.m. local time, according to the BBC. The fire spread to cover about 807 square feet of the farmyard before it was contained.
Quite a lot of area.
Yeah. Four pig pens caught fire at the farm located near Leeds in the county of Yorkshire. And see how I pronounced that correctly, like the locals do? It's actually Yorkshire, but don't tell those fuckers that. You hear that, you British bastards? And fire crews from nearby Tadcaster. That's a great name for a town.
I don't think you said that right.
No, T-A-D-C-A-S-T-E-R, Tadcaster. Now this one.
Like, Tadcaster.
Tadcaster. But, so this one I'm not going to get. Knaresborough. K-N-A-R-E-S.
There is no explaining all that stuff.
There's too many aurors. So, K-N-A-R-E-S-B-O-R-O-R-O-U-G-H. Yeah, fitting that it ends with ugh, right? Anyway, so fire crews from nearby Tadcaster, Knaresborough, rushed in with hoses to save the bacon, which is in quotes.
Is that really in the news? Huh?
Yeah, it says save the bacon. That's the bacon. Even in quotes. And they, so let's see. And then right here at the end of the article, it says, blah, no animals involved in the pig pen fire, including the fire hog who inadvertently started the blaze, were harmed by flames or smoke, according to the firefighters' tweets. But if we know anything, we've talked about this off the air a lot, you cannot trust a fucking word of a British firefighter. They will lie about the time of day for just for the fucking practice.
Right.
It's bizarre, but still, their job is not to go around telling the truth. It's to go around putting out fires. And they did, so hats off to you guys. Also, there's a picture of the pig. Everybody who's listening, go to livescience.com and then look for the pig starts battery fire. And
oh, the picture of the pig. You know what? We can now put this in our show notes because we have a website.
Fuck yeah, we do.
That's right. Brand new. It is destroythefiles.com. .com. We got the .com.
Son of a bitch, I knew it. All right, listen, here's what we're going to do. You make me some sort of an editor or admin or something on there, and I'm going to go in there, and I'm going to get my hands dirty in the spaghetti sauce of the website, and I'm going to go ahead and just not even do anything because I already looked at it. It looks fucking awesome. Good job. Good job, Kate.
Right. So we'll put a link to that bacon article.
Yeah. Everybody can see how funny this pig looks. He's like looking at the camera like, no. he looks like he's smiling.
I love pigs. I'm trying to talk my husband, Matthew, into getting a pig because how different would that be from having, like, we have two dogs. They run our lives.
Mm-hmm.
They do. They sleep in our bed. They whine when they want things. We jump whenever they tell us that we should be doing something.
Yeah, we have three dogs, so same situation.
So I want a pig because little pigs are so cute. But Matthew says, well, it's going to be sleeping in our bed in no time because it would.
Yeah.
They're way cute. And he said, there is no such thing as a mini pig.
Well, this is a little potbelly one.
Those pigs get big. Like, even the potbellies, they get like 75, 100 pounds. Like, do you want that pig in your bed? And my answer is just yes.
Well, I would hit it with a resounding maybe. Gotta try it out. You know, I would like a pet goat, but I would like it.
They're so cute.
I would like my goats to live outdoors. I had a job at a I won't tell you well, I won't tell the listeners. I'll tell you and edit it out later. Anyway, so the guy that every Monday morning for me to do my part of the layout, he'd have to come and like just go right over my shoulder and like, oh, put this here, and tell me where he wanted, you know, delete this line or move this paragraph around, whatever. And he's like touching my screen and getting fingerprints on it. What the fuck? But worse than that, even, is he used to hang his coat at home over top of the litter box.
No.
So it was just absorbing cat poo. But also, he had goats. He was very friendly. I don't know if he had to like pick up the goat and carry it out or what he did, but there was always goat smell on his coat too.
Oh, man.
It was a combination of goats and cat litter and touching my monitor.
I don't know if I ever told you this, but for several years I lived in Puerto Rico.
Tell me you lived in Puerto Rico. Mm-hmm.
I did. And from the time that my daughter was in first grade until she was in fourth grade, we lived in Puerto Rico. And we didn't live in like a big city. I don't know why. But we went to a really small town in the middle of the poorest part of the country. I put her in school there. Well, I homeschooled her for like maybe 3 whole weeks, and it seemed like it was 5 years long. So, all right, I don't care if you don't speak Spanish. You're going to have to go to school anyway. So I sent her off to school in Puerto Rico. We lived in Amaguas. It was a very small town in the southern part of the state. Our neighbor had a goat. A really cute little goat named Pepito. And I would go and get Christine from the third grade and walk her home from school every day. And we would step into the neighbor's yard and play with Pepito. And he was really great. And he was the cutest little thing. And he would jump up and lick your face and then like jump on the other. It was the greatest little goat. And then one day he was not there. Turned out it was like the feast of like the kings or something. And
oh, Pepito.
Really delicious.
Oh, man, get a little teriyaki on there.
I felt, I couldn't tell Christine. It's like, just don't eat it. Just, like, have the vegetables. The plantains are delicious. Don't eat that. But, you know, circle of life. He was the cutest little goat. I've always wanted one since then.
Let me give you a little uplifting palate cleanser to the Pepito story. Does she know about it now?
She does.
Okay.
She's not over it, but she knows about it. Yeah.
Huh. So, this is last end of November hunting season. We had gone to a friend Jim at his cabin, which is much bigger and nicer than my home. So what the hell. So we go to Jim's cabin, and he'd smoked a bunch of ribs, I think. Oh, there was a bunch of stuff, but there was like some brisket and a bunch of. So the ribs, he had this glaze on. It was really good. I gave my son a plate with a bunch of. I brought my cheesy potatoes, my famous cheesy potatoes. You know that I'm known far and wide around northern Wisconsin for my cheesy potato prowess. You know, give my son a plate, and he wasn't eating the meat. It turns out what he was doing was just sucking the sauce off and putting it back on his plate. And I saw him doing that. I'm like, what are you doing? And he's like, oh, I don't like the meat. You know, it's like the outside of it. So I was just sucking it off. All right, whatever. Well, my brother didn't realize what had been happening. He just saw a bunch of uneaten ribs on my son's plate. And so he, of course, just picks them up and starts eating them. There's like four of them there. And I don't notice this is happening until he gets halfway done with the last one. I'm like, oh, He's like, what? Like, never mind. Just finish up. I'll tell you in a minute. So he finishes eating up the last rib. And then I explained to him, you know, he's over here. He just sucked all the sauce off all of those. So they weren't good. They probably weren't as saucy as the ones that you had had before. But I mean, what can you do at that point? You just let them enjoy the last couple bites. Right? That's all you can do. Well, this portion of the podcast is brought to you by Grandma Heathrow's Old Time Kettle Corn. Delicious snacks made with love by Grandma Heathrow in small batches on her very own stove. We don't know if that makes it artisanal, and we don't care. What we do know is you won't find a higher quality kettle corn around these parts. Enjoy Grandma Heathrow's Old Time Kettle Corn. Before the crab claw growing alongside your brainstem gets so big you die. You know, I've tried that. Her kettle corn is legit.
I do love kettle corn.
I could eat it till I explode. The caramel toffee one especially. Oh.
What have you been up to lately? Do you have any plans for the upcoming year?
Well, as I kind of discussed a little bit last week, mainly I'm consumed by soap operas. So, I mean, if you don't mind, I'll get into last week, this latest episode recap for The Waters of Castle Creek.
All right.
I cannot get enough of this goddamn show. And this week, The Waters of Castle Creek, shit has gone crazy. Okay. So, Grandpa Waters jumps the Grand Canyon successfully on his rocket bike. His landing was a little shaky, so he investigates the bike, and he knows that Derek is the only one who had a chance to sabotage it. And Derek knew he'd know if the sabotage failed. And Derek, rightfully fearing for his life, he gets the fuck out of there when he sees Grandpa land the jump. And Derek hides out at his friend Reno's place, but that's only because he doesn't know that Reno owes upwards of 10 grand to Cooney, the leader of the local Yakuza. And Cooney shows up and slashes Reno and Derek all up with his Yakuza sword. And Reno's girlfriend Donna reveals that she has a secret. So then Cody gets blown apart by an IED, but Dr. Haven believes he can save him. And Alonzo gets back from his 9th tour in Afghanistan, finds out about the IED attack, and he goes into flashback sequence where we find out that Rebecca has been sending him love letters. But what he doesn't know is that Cody was forcing her to write the letters so Alonzo would be easy to manipulate. He'd be easily manipulated killing machine when he finally came back. And when we leave Cody, Alonzo is at his bedside holding his hand and crying. And it's just funny because all that's left of Cody is a head, part of a torso, and the bloody hand that Alonzo is holding. And then Hugo Van reveals he's been having an affair with Nurse Tom. So then Agent Gordon tells Mayor Gimpshin that the airstrike is inbound just as Grandpa arrives at the hospital on his rocket bike. He wakes Angel up and tells her she has 3.5 hours to rehabilitate, get to the blown-up medical research facility, and cure super snake pox before the entire town gets firebombed all the shit. Now Mayor Gimpshin hangs up the phone with Agent Gordon, pours a glass of scotch, and gets a little silver revolver out of his drawer, and he's getting ready to shoot himself in the head when the phone rings. It's his wife calling to tell him that their twins, Lewis and Lyra, have been bitten by a rattlesnake and are both in a coma, right? So the mayor knows somehow that Luke Marston is behind it, and Nurse Tom reveals that she is really a man, and Marco finds a peanut. Now, we end in the cockpit of a fighter jet, and the pilot says, you know, locked on target, we are clear to firebomb. And I don't know if that's really how pilots talk, like in the Air Force. We are clear to firebomb, but anyway, so there's a voice over the radio that says, you know, Roger that, Tiger Shark, you're clear to firebomb, and then that's the end of the episode. That's just what I love about
the show. Breathtaking.
Like, there's an imminent firebomb, the Yakuza, more twins in comas, and a fucking peanut. Yeah, I can't wait till the next episode pops up online so I can pirate the shit out of it.
That's a good one.
I understand that they're doing a Spanish spinoff, like in Spain. So like out of Barcelona, so that they can actually show boobs, and that'll be nice. I say free the nipple a lot to my son. And
how does he cry?
His teacher sent a message home asking why he's always saying that, and she expressed that she thought it was troubling. Well, so whatever. Whatever, lady. It's, you know, it's the future, so just get used to it.
When my daughter was in kindergarten, which admittedly was a long time ago, because she turned, I guess she turned 31 this year, which is fucking old. I never thought I would have a 31-year-old child. But when she was in kindergarten, she was sent home with a comic book. It was cute. It was well done and very well drawn and had all the nice angles that comic books do. Like, but it was telling how to turn your parents in if they had a gun in the house and were not using it or storing it appropriately.
Where were you living with this?
I was living in, we were in Rochester, New York, which is like a city of 1 million. There was not a lot of gun violence in the city. It was odd. Like, why are you telling children about guns and how not to ever touch them when your parents give them to you? It was so weird. I saved that comic. I still have it. It's in, I've stored it away in a little scrapbook. The days of Christine's life.
When I was in sixth grade, we began hunter safety at my school.
Really?
And to do
hunter... We did not have that in sixth grade. And I lived in Texas.
So when you're 12 in Wisconsin, at least it was then, and now they lowered the age to, like, can pull a trigger.
Really?
I'm fucking not joking. But so back then, you were 12 when you could start hunting, and there's, like, so you'd see second half of October to the first half of November, you'd have a lot of sixth graders carrying firearms on the, like, on fucking school buses.
Oh no. Yeah. Oh man, that have, is so not Los Angeles where we live today.
Probably would have ammunition with you. So the one I used the most was, it was a 22 20 gauge over under of my uncle's. So
brought it on the school bus to school. Yeah, when yeah, and, you were in sixth grade.
Yeah, and it came
apart. Seriously.
Yeah.
Christ.
It came apart.
Like, you can't even think about that here where I live.
Well,
like, holy Christ. There would be, like, no. No.
You'll like this even more. You would disassemble the gun because, like, it cased in, like, this. No, it was, like, 18 inches long.
You don't want people to know
and
that.
You took it apart and you put it in this case. It kind of folded up and then you, like, carried it. It was like 18 inches long, where other kids had, like a whole, like, one piece gun that they carried.
No,
but I looked fine. Snapped it together.
No, not in sixth grade. No, that is wrong. That is not going to happen. No. That's going to end society faster than what we have now.
Well, it didn't, but I don't think they're doing it anymore. I don't think they're letting children.
That is crazy.
Like, all right, kids, remember your guns tomorrow.
No.
But there was never, like, I never knew of anybody messing around with it. Like, you didn't take it out on the bus. Because you'd be done. You wouldn't be able to hunt. They would, like, you would not be allowed to be in hunter safety, and you wouldn't hunt that year. So,
kind of like in Driver's Ed, you don't fuck around. You don't swerve because you can.
Right.
You just drive nice. You learn to drive properly so you can get your license.
And it was a 22, you know? So, I mean,
I don't know what that means.
It's a very small caliber. So, I mean, you could certainly kill somebody. What I'm getting at is that it's a very light caliber. It's what you use for shooting squirrels.
These were not chipmunks. Like robber and...
These aren't your deer hunting rifles. So these are just these are the kids.
I'm from Los Angeles. I'm thinking these are not like robbing a bank kind of guns.
You could rob a bank.
Because that's what guns are for here. Unless, like, maybe you shoot a coyote every once in a while.
So this
fucking coyotes. One almost like ran right up to me, and I yelled at it the other day on my walk.
You didn't stop and think for one second about maybe do I befriend this beast and get it to do my bidding?
No, he did not back off. He was like, I'm going to just walk right back. Like almost brushed up against my legs. Fucking coyote.
Friends.
No.
He wanted you to give him a lice bath. Get rid of his fleas.
Nasty little piece of shit coyote. I hate them.
I wonder if they have as many parasites as raccoons.
I don't know, but... like they you can hear them in packs.
Yeah,
these they get a little dog out in the, there's nothing you can do, you can't run up on them, there's 12 of them out there just eating a little cute dog
out there just begging for its life, and the coyotes are like, no little friend.
Ew. No,
we're sick of eating garbage. We're not eating no garbage today. And the dog's like, well, you should know I do eat mostly McDonald's. You know, my owner is a piece of shit. Like, yeah. I run along home. Like, can I walk? Because my heart can't really take it. I eat a lot of McDonald's.
I see little signs with, have you seen my pet? And there's a little dog or a little cat. And we've lost our... Oh... No, they've been eaten. We heard them get eaten. You don't need to post that sign on every like street post. We heard that happen.
Did you ever watch Stephen King's Desperation?
Yeah.
Okay, so when there's the cat like up on the sign, like, there's got to be something that you can do there. Like, yeah, you know, this is you like. Put a print out of that and be like, yeah, this is what the coyotes did to your cat, so you can stop looking. Right.
Don't put that sign up. You don't even have to pay for like 100 copies,
because you know
it's like $25 for 100 copies at the FedEx.
Kate, you got thousands of dollars staring you in the fucking face. And you're just not even looking at it. All you got to do is open your mouth and let that money just fly down your throat.
Really?
All right.
How so?
Because here's what you're going to do. You are a professional investigator.
Oh.
You're a private investigator.
Right.
You're a, I don't want to say pet detective. Can we come up with a different word? But you will not rest until you recover these pets.
No, I can't deal with that sadness.
Well, can you deal with the money? Because you're $45 an hour.
I do like the money.
Yeah. Well, in these trying times.
Oh, but so much sadness.
Release the butthole cut.
I'm a little disappointed lately because I do not get to go all the places that I want to go, because I may have mentioned it. We are in shutdown. I'm supposed to stay in my house and not leave for any reason whatsoever.
But so you can still go to IMAX, though.
No.
What?
No. Closed.
No.
Everything's closed.
Remember when we saw Ender's Game in IMAX out there?
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Yeah. It was pretty good. So this year, I was planning to go to Stokergon in, what is it called? Is Scarsdale? No.
Let's just call it London. That's what I'm calling it.
No, it was Scarborough. That got canceled because if you fly on a plane now, apparently you just die. So
a lot of people have been exploding on those planes.
Yeah. So that was canceled, and I was supposed to go to Utah in August for the Quills Conference, which is really awesome. Johnny Worthen invited me to this conference, but...
You know, he's all right. We should have him on here.
We should. He'd be great. Maybe we should do that next week. We'll have to give him a call.
Yeah.
What was that sound?
That was a Voodoo Ranger.
Yeah. There's all these places I can't go anymore. I had booked my trip to the Catacombs of Paris. Are you familiar with this place?
Well, I haven't been there, but I know what you're talking about.
I have not been there either, but I was planning to go this year. But now, like, fucking coronavirus, I can't go any damn place. But these are tunnels under Paris, and they are filled with bones.
Yeah. They're
the bones of 6 million Parisians over the years.
Who probably all had it coming, but continue.
Right. But they're mostly anonymous. Poor people throughout history were pretty much just disposed of rather than interred. We don't even admit it, but that's still kind of how it is today. But in Paris, in the olden times, you would rent a cemetery plot for the bones of your folks. If throughout the years people decided, like, imagine your great grandparents had a rented plot there in Paris, and like you didn't even meet them, but you still have to pay like $250 a month. Right? So when people decided, oh man, I'd rather pay my own rent than grandpa's rent at the cemetery, those bones had to go somewhere. So they all went to the catacombs of Paris. And now it's super creepy. There are bones like lying in the whole place. It's the grossest thing. And I really want to look at it.
I do too. I would love to go there. Yeah. And you see just a handful of pictures, but that can't do it justice. You gotta go there and see it for real.
No, gotta go. Apparently, if you take an airplane now, you're gonna die.
Yeah.
I suppose you could take a ship, because cruise ships are so much safer.
They're very safe, yeah, absolutely. There's right down on the surface of the planet, so there's no crashing. You know, you can go up on the deck and get the fresh air. You know, I guess on the interior cabins, the lower decks, they do kind of recycle the air. So you're like breathing in air from like other, you know, cabins and stuff. But as long as it doesn't smell funny, I think you're fine. And, you know, if you really got a problem with like if they're passing wind in cabin 1C, you know. Yeah, maybe they had oysters Rockefeller for supper at the buffet, and it made them super gassy, and it just smells like just fucked up and weird. You know, like, oh man, no. Well, you put on that surgical mask that you brought with you, because that's gonna save you from a number of things.
Another place that I had planned to go this year was Socotra Island in Yemen.
Oh, really?
Are you familiar with Yemen at all?
No, not I. Mm-mm.
No. Well, Yemen has a civil war going on, and there's sort of in the whole, they don't really have much of a government anymore. It's like all chaos and
disaster. Saudi Arabia is like airstriking them with planes we gave them and rockets we gave them and stuff. Yeah.
But there's a little island off the coast of Yemen. Called
Tell me it has monkeys. Is that monkeys?
Oh, it has monkeys. And it divided from the mainland like 6,000 years ago. And so the trees are different than any trees we've ever seen. And the species on this island are separate. Like, it would be awesome. But I can't go because fucking humans are going to be assholes. And they're going to fight, and you can't go and see the cool stuff anymore. All right, I'm done.
Ugh, thanks, right. Obama.
I know, right?
Did you have any letters come into your inbox this week?
I did not.
I had a couple.
Yeah.
You can burn through them pretty quick if you want.
Sure.
Let's see. So the first one is, Dear Destroy the Files. I'm cooped up, man. What the hell am I supposed to do? Talk to these people? I am seriously on the brink of going berserk here. What can I do to keep from going insane? And that is from Jack in Torrance, Colorado. You know, immediately the first thing that came to mind when I saw this, and Nintendo is not a sponsor of this podcast yet, but Jack, you need Breath of the Wild on Nintendo Switch. Holy good Lord. I'm not going to take the Lord's name in vain, but I know a guy who invented the phrase, Jesus, fuck me in the Lord Christ. Right? That's awful. That is that. That's if that was mine, I would claim it. That is not mine. The first time I heard him say that, I believe I spit out my beer, right there on the kitchen floor, as I so often did. But yeah, Jack in Torrance, Colorado, Legend of Zelda: Breath of the Wild, for your Nintendo Switch. What do you think, Kate? How does he keep from going insane over there with his family?
Yeah, just breathe. And when they chew really loud, direct your thoughts into shrinking their brain. You just make your thoughts shrink their... Don't make your hands squeeze their skull until it pops. You make your brain squeeze their head until they stop chewing so fucking loud.
You ever thought about being a therapist?
That would be so good.
Yeah. Family therapy with Kate. And the other thing that I was going to say is, you know what, Jack? Let me write a book. Try writing a book. You know, sit down, write a few pages. See how it feels. Try it on. The next one I got here is, Hi, Kate and Brent. I like how that one started. Oh,
they like us.
Yeah.
They're so informal.
Yeah. I'm a kindergarten teacher, and obviously school is canceled. I'm thinking about writing a book while sitting here with nothing to do. Awesome. Good for you, writing a book.
It'd be so good.
Got any writing tips for somebody who's new to the game? And that's from Laser the Blunt Blazer in Santa Fe.
No, there is no way there should be any new writers in this fucking game, because it is so fucking hard to get a book published right now. Just don't even try.
Yeah, my first thought is, you know, my best and most frequent advice to these little wannabe fucks is
back the fuck off, right? We have got this.
Leave it to the pros, nerd, right? You know? As I think about it a little more, the most important writing tip that I can give somebody, and this is being sincere, is you put a straw in your beverage. You know, how many times have I been sitting there with a giant glass of rum in front of me, and I'm sitting there just typing furiously, but I need a drink. My mouth is so dry. It gets so dry. I just need like a little bitty sip of rum, clickety clack on the keys, and all of a sudden I stop, because I gotta pick up this glass for just a second, take a quick sip, boom. Where the fuck was I? What was I doing? You know, if I just had a straw, you know, and just had it right here in front of my keyboard, and just had a straw going from my mouth to the delicious beverage, I could hydrate and concentrate on the story. And you know, as my body needed to be refreshed with a delicious ice cold rum, you could just draw it as needed. That's my best advice for anybody who wants to write a book.
I agree.
Yeah.
Drink more.
And then the last one is Hi, my parents have several inappropriately stored firearms. How can I turn them into the authorities? And that is from Little Chrissy in Rochester, New York. Oh, I guess I'm not familiar with local New York ordinance, so I don't really know how you turn your parents into the authorities down there?
Ah, little Chrissy. Just call them up. Call the 911. Mm-hmm. You're going to enjoy the foster care so much. There is nothing like the foster care.
Can't beat it.
It's great for your future. Your life will blossom.
That'll teach those parents for
right
being so shitty. This portion of the podcast is brought to you by Little Goblin Men at the Edge of Your Vision. Are they imaginary? Are they real? Why do they duck out of sight as soon as you look in their direction? What are they saying in their low, raspy voices? Are they singing or are they chanting? Yes, it's Little Goblin Men at the Edge of Your Vision. Maybe they're a result of that crab claw growing alongside your brainstem. I appreciate that some of our sponsors are kind of seem like they're in it together. You know, they're doing a little crossover, helping each other out, advertising together.
It's the times we live in.
Yeah, it's optimizing, you know, getting the most bang for your buck, I think.
Right.
Like, so you get like a bigger account, like a crab claw growing alongside your brainstem. Got a little more cheddar to spread around, and you can bring on, they can team up with Grandma Heathrow's Old Time Kettle Corn and Little Goblin Men at the Edge of Your Vision, and, you know, maybe Grandma Heathrow and the Little Goblin Men couldn't, you know, maybe swing an ad on here on their own. $5 can be a lot, but then you get somebody like a crab claw growing alongside your brainstem and make up the difference. So yeah, it's good to see them teaming up in that way.
Yeah,
I'm really proud of our sponsors.
I am too. They're doing a good job. They're helping the people.
Yeah, and every one of these, just a great product. I stand by all of them. I wouldn't even let them advertise on the show. As you know, we have high standards here. They won't be advertising on Destroy the Files if they didn't have superior products.
Right, right. Speaking of superior products, I think we have a Destroy the Files t-shirt coming up in the next week. Yeah, you can wear it. It says DTF right on the front of it.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
You know I'll wear that. I'll wear that all over the place. I'll wear that to work.
Wear the hell out of that.
Man, I can't wait.
All right.
One last thing that I wanted to make sure that we mentioned really briefly this week is I saw this on futurism.com.
Oh.
You're going to love this. Proposed mission would explore interstellar object Oumuamua. We know such a mission, at least in principle, is achievable. Remember Oumuamua, the first ever object from interstellar space that astronomers spotted cruising through our solar system? Now a team of scientists has proposed a mission to explore it. It doesn't say anything in this article about their intentions to have sex with Oumuamua, but I think somebody on this crew wants to fuck it. I'm just saying. So we know such a mission is possible, at least in principle. Counterintuitively, Hilbert and his colleagues propose waiting to launch the mission to Oumuamua until the year 2030, when they say Jupiter will be in a position to slingshot a mission towards the distant object at incredible speeds. And that's fair. You know, take advantage of stuff that you can.
Just do it when get you it, say it, right?
Get it going. Get it going now. Don't wait 10 years. Is it still 2020?
Fucking around, right? Yeah.
It seems
really long. Seems like we're like 5 years ahead already.
Yeah, it seems like it's been 2020 for a very long time. Okay, yeah. But like I said on one of our earlier episodes, we missed a big opportunity for doomsday cults to eat poison while they, you know.
Should we maybe sell poison?
Yeah, you got oleander growing in your yard. I think
I completely do. Should we boil it up?
Kate. Yet another marketing opportunity. Destroy the Files brand poison.
No, we could call it something else, like
not poison.
Delicious drops.
Health drops.
Right. How many cults do you think are going to come out of this whole thing?
Coronavirus cults?
Like, everybody's stuck at home, and they're going to go fucking crazy because they have to take care of their own children and educate them themselves. And, like, have you homeschooled your child yet?
Junior's been home.
I have a feeling that many parents right now have all their children at home, and they're thinking, I'm going to, like, we're going to have classes right here. And like,
I'm going to teach them how to do math the way I learned how to do math.
Out of my house. I hate you. I only had one child.
You did not kill and eat her. And that's important.
No, I did not. You should edit that out.
No, I can't. It was good.
It wasn't that good.
Oh, it was fine. It was fine. Okay, I'll see what I can do.
Thanks. See if I remember. Thanks.
There was something I was going to tack onto there that was funny. Damn it! What was it? Thanks for listening. No, that wasn't it. So I have a theory.
Don't touch your face. Fuck. Have you learned nothing?
I really haven't. But so I have a theory. You know, things are weird right now, but they're a quiet weird. Yeah. When we're done being self-quarantined and stuff, when everybody can go out again and be returned to society in the numbers that we're used to, people are going to remember, like, oh, we took it for granted. And they're going to go out, and it's going to get fucking crazy when people are allowed to go out back again in a year and a half. The summer's going to be quiet.
Next summer,
it's going to be bazonkers.
I wonder if you are experiencing the full shut the world down experience of what it's like to live in a big city and see all of the highways empty.
I am certain.
Really not. Creepy.
I've been enjoying looking at some pictures of Las Vegas where it's just all lit up and empty.
Yeah. I'm thinking we should have probably cut this show off about like 10 minutes ago.
We can edit it.
Yeah.
I'll trim it down. Don't you worry. Yeah.
Good. Because I'm
drunk. Thanks for listening to this. Oh, you know what we didn't get into?
What?
2 weeks in a row. Or is it 3 weeks in a row? Yet one more episode. We did it. Boom. Got through it without neither of us at any point mentioning ovipositors. Thanks for listening to Destroy the Files. I'm Brent.
I'm Kate.
Good night. Night.
Good night. You better edit out everything that...
I'm going to delete the whole thing.